Thank you for downloading this podcast from policyreview.tv.
Thank you, John. Good afternoon, everybody. I think what I'm going to say will touch on very much the theme of, or the various themes of what's already been heard of this morning, of sharing intelligence, working together, because we cannot tackle organised crime alone. Disruption is a real strategy, and I think we're right in the heart of that and could do far more of it. And the local to global agenda. So talk a little bit about our agency, first of all. I mean, we've got a complex, difficult task, quite controversial, as you'll all know, because everyone's got an opinion of immigration, of course, one way or the other. We facilitate travel to the UK of business people. We're part of the growth agenda, although we're not always seen as such. We want the right people to come here, so we encourage and try to ensure the right immigration comes here. We're part and leading the government's strategy of reducing net migration. We drive compliance of immigration rules within the UK, and, of course, we seek to remove those who have no right to be in the UK, as well as having a real crime part in terms of organised immigration crime and crime at the border. So what is the border? I mean, we have 106 million passengers come through the border each year, 200 million if we count the two-way travel. There's about 13.8 postal items come through that have to be considered. 9.4 million containers that... In terms of people travelling, we deal with 3 million visa applications a year from across the world. Massive bits of work. If you just think of all that and think about how you police that, and the themes again of this morning of drugs and other illicit goods, and I think Keith touched on nearly all organised crime in the UK has international links. So, you know, it all could be described as sort of border organised crime in some ways. It's like a needle in a haystack, of course, so intelligence is paramount to, you know, which of those containers do you search? So profiling and intelligence is paramount to success at the border, border being, of course, a pinch point where intervention can be very successful. I would add, too, that may or may not be widely known to you all, that the border force element of our agency was separated from us in March. Again, among some controversy. So Border Force is a separate part of the Home Office, but we still at this moment in time have, as an agency, have the crime teams and run that part of the border. Migration has grown considerably in the last 20 years. When we talk about net migration, the issue government has to confront now, if you look back actually about 15 years, it was always in balance. There's the same number of people left the country as come in the country, and that's gone out of balance in more recent years, which has become the political hot potato. There's enormous demand, of course, to get to this country, particularly from the Indian subcontinent, sub-Saharan Africa, and many other parts of the world. And that creates opportunities for organised crime, because a lot of these people, of course, could not get here legitimately and would be unlikely to get a visa to come here, often because they're undesirable people who would not want to come to the UK. So we are a destination of choice. That is just an illustration of the type of routes that people will take trying to get to the UK. That's via Africa through Lampedusa and into the UK. We have lots of these different routes. We know the migration routes, and again, what was touched on this morning, opportunities to intervene at various parts. And perhaps it just illustrates, really, the extent people go to. There are people in India and other parts of the world who will use the whole life savings, the whole family's life savings, just to get to the UK, where they believe it will be, of course, the land of the milk and honey, and it always doesn't always work out that for them. So there's a lot of people become destitute when they come here. There's a lot of course, people trafficking for various reasons. So there's a sad part of all this, as well as, of course, the crime involvement that will be in it. These slides actually are all in the wrong order that's me pressing the button too fast, probably. The visa system covers three quarters of the world. The technology at the border has improved greatly. So now, if you look at Calais and the route in Calais to Dover, there's far fewer people pulled out of trucks now, caught in the back of trucks trying to smuggle in the country, because the technology has deterred people. There's all sorts of different bits of technology and X-ray machines type thing which do make it far more difficult. Of course, and the full checks done on everyone coming to the country. The documentation is getting more secure. It's not foolproof, of course. None of this is foolproof, and people do get in the country. But the big camp you used to sit Songat in north of France, that's not there now, and it's more dispersed. We have a lot of advanced passenger information. So we have our e-border system. So from all around the world, we know before people get on planes, who's getting on planes. We know a lot about the people before they arrive in the UK. Of course, that fits right into the intelligence-led agenda. So there's a great deal of information known about people before they land. We have our Railon officers across the world, the risk and airline liaison officers. That's a network we have across the world, and we have staff in 135 countries. They do intelligence work across the world on immigration crime. They work with local law enforcement. They also work with the airlines and airports across the world. So we stop 10,000 to 15,000 people actually bordering planes and pull them off planes all across the world and get airlines to do it. When we detect and know there's forged documents being used, or again, people want to come to the UK. Of course, there are people who we don't want to get on planes in the first place who are considered to be a real risk if in the air. So that's really important. They train airlines and, as I say, work very much on intelligence. That's the route I talked about. That's just these are just quick examples of some of the work we've done internationally. Operation Razor was some work we did in Madrid with the law enforcement authorities there, where they were arranging for forged documentation for Iranians and others to get into the UK. It's a big issue for us. We worked hard with them. The operation was conducted out in Europe rather than here. Again, as discussed earlier, it doesn't matter where this is done. And it led to a great reduction in this type of activity, which we'd seen spike. And these are the sort of things we're doing, particularly in Europe, in parts of the world. This is another example of minors being brought to the UK for sexual exploitation, another serious issue involving us and law enforcement generally. And this was an operation we conducted involving Spain, Italy, Germany and France. And again, we do have the global reach out there and can bring some of these things to fruition for our cooperation with law enforcement agencies across the world. So we do run operations against key figures. At the border, we have about 300 investigators. We have about another 300 or 400 investigators across the UK who concentrate on this work. We do a lot of work in country, of course, in illegal working operations on marriage abuse, because we get about 70,000 applications each year of people who are applying to be resident in the UK as a result of marriage to an EU citizen. There's rights under EU laws. A fair percentage of those are abusive, quite frankly. So we have to do work on that. And again, a percentage of those are arranged by organised crime and facilitated. So there's an organised crime element as well as other issues involved in that. We create a hostile environment. So we try to make it difficult and for people to live here unlawfully. So we do things like you cannot work. You've got to prove to an employer that you have the right to work in the UK. Otherwise, an employer can be subject to a £10,000 penalty. We are working with the health service, so it makes it more difficult to get health services if you're illegally in the country. We're working with DWP, so we make sure that you can't get benefits if you're not here lawfully in the country, and we wash their database against ours fairly frequently. And we work with all other law enforcement agencies. We routinely work with the police on illegal working operations, on call-outs to the police when they see opportunities that are foreign nationals within their cells. We've taken that a bit further with the Met, and Mark Rowley, who's following me, will really talk about it in more detail than I intend to, Operation Nexus. But it really is where we need to go when we talk about disrupting organised criminals, because there are immigration solutions to lots of the criminals and organised criminals in the UK. When, as we've discussed earlier, the criminal justice system cannot cope, will not cope, and indeed it's a very difficult playground to play with the standards of evidence required, the effort it takes, and the cost of bringing prosecutions there. And if people, when there are routes when we can remove people from the UK, and they are quite wide, of course we do remove people from the UK, they are banned from returning to the UK, more if not for 10 years, and that's a minimum ban. It might be we never allow the people to come back to the UK again. When we talk about disruption, I think that's a significant way to disrupt foreign criminals in the UK. And foreign criminals are a percentage of the kind of organised crime groups that are dealt with. I think, in fairness, only representative of the numbers of the population they represent, but there are pockets of high density of foreign national people, of course, in different parts of the UK. So that's an important development for us. That's a development we would like to take elsewhere in the UK because we think it's beneficial. And as I say, you'll hear Mark talk far more about that, I'm sure. We also work with border force, of course, very closely, and we actually do have the crime teams at the border who deal with drugs and other commodities. There's an example there. I mean, we could give you lots of examples of the good work that's done at the border. Some of it is through good targeting. Some of it's through intelligence. Some of it is just through random stops. I mean, there was one particular operation last year where we worked with SOCA where we found 1,200 kilos of cocaine in a boat, which was cargo, actually, inside another boat. The interesting thing about that was in a yacht. There was actually good intelligence to say that there would be that quantity of drugs, yet it took us 5 days to find it. Such was the concealment in a yacht. And it was a kind of pleasure cruise-type yacht, not a huge boat. So there's some difficult work done and huge amounts of drugs. And I think, again, as Keith said earlier, and his term, how the disproportionate effort increases as the drugs go further down the chain. It's certainly a good place to intercept there if you can't intercept abroad. So, as I say, I think our work is wide. There's far more, I think, we can do with law enforcement partnerships. I think the disruption agenda is a really important agenda for us to get into. I'll look forward to your questions later. Thank you very much.
Thank you for listening to this podcast from policyreview.tv. For more details, go to www.policyreview.tv. Please note that this audio is subject to copyright and cannot be used by other broadcasters or for commercial gain.